Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, maintaining and operating the 800-mile Trans-Alaska Pipeline since 1977. Learn more at alyeskapipeline.com.
December is the start of winter. But this Friday, things will heat up in Anchorage as the Anchorage International Film Festival gets underway. This year marks the 25th anniversary of the Far North Independent Film Event, and there's a wide range of categories to appeal to our cinematic senses. Documentaries, animation, narrative features, shorts, thrillers, and a lot more will be in the mix. So much fun. Directors and filmmakers join us to dig into the details today on Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello from Alaska Public Media. It's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. I love films. Old, new, long, short, scary, funny, inspiring, especially when there is so much choice right in my town. A local film festival is something most communities don't have. So for our extremely far north city to host a festival that attracts both Lower 48 and international filmmakers, while also highlighting the work of local and indigenous Alaskan filmmakers, is an incredible feat. And starting this weekend, an amazing lineup of creative work will be available to Anchorage residents and visitors. With us today to help describe the work and convince you that, yes, these really are films worth freezing for, is festival co-director Adam Linkenhelt. Adam, although isn't freezing yet, he's still in California, but will be here in the next few days. So he joins us by phone. But in the studio with me today is Kelly Moneymaker, an Alaskan filmmaker and a board member for the Anchorage International Film Festival. Also in the studio is Emily Sullivan. Emily is an Alaskan filmmaker as well, and her work will be showing for the first time in the U.S. We'll hear more about that soon. Yay, is right. Yeah, welcome everyone. All right, Adam, I want you to start us off here. This is your second year as co-director. I think last year was maybe a bit of a trial by fire since you came on fairly close to festival time. Talk about how you got involved, got asked to be co-lead of the festival, and what will be different in this second year under your leadership.
Yeah. Hey, Anchorage. This is Adam. I'm an alumni filmmaker of the festival. I first came here with my feature directorial debut, which I directed with Pat McGee, my other festival director. And we had just such a really great experience here. And then we came back a few years later with another film from the Hood to Holler. And we had another great experience. And, you know, we really connected with the board members as well at the, you know, at the awards party. And when the opportunity opened up, Pat and I have been to a lot of festivals, and we always are just talking about what we like, what we don't like, what we would want to do, what would make us feel celebrated. And when the idea to like, okay, we could actually do that for other people, it just was really exciting. And it was really tough and it was hard. And, you know, we jumped in with only a few months to be able to plan it. And, you know, as the train's going, you don't know if it's going to be successful. And the smiles on people's faces, the filmmakers, the audiences, the way watching them engage with each other, that was one of the most special things I've ever experienced in, you know, putting on an event like that. And it touched me in a way that, you know, I didn't know about. And so I love being on this side of it now. And I'm excited to just do it again, do it better, do it bigger, bring more people here, show them what this experience is like, and that's really what this year is about.
So, Adam, before we dive into describing some of the films that will be offered, tell us more about what goes into putting it all together. Where do you find the filmmakers and decide who to invite?
I mean, it's, you know, it's tough. You know, one big thing was, you know, last year when we came on, we wanted to film and take a lot of pictures because we wanted to tell the story of the Anchorage International Film Festival and get that out in the world, right? Mm-hmm. To showcase to the world, like, hey, this is what we're putting on, and you know, you should submit and try to become a part of this. And that was a big goal of ours, and it drove up our submissions, which makes the job harder with us and our programmers to like pick the films. And you know, our process of choosing the films, it's always aiming at this mix, right? It's you want these films that have been on the festival circuit that have just, you know, been smashing successful. You want world premieres. You want people who are pros. You want people who are brand new at this. You want young people. You want someone who's in their 60s who just made their first film. You want Alaskans. You want to celebrate the local filmmakers here and really make sure that the Anchorage Film Festival is the place for them. You know, Native voices, you want to showcase that. And you want to mix all these things together into this melting pot. And that's really the vision we have. So how we do that is just we talk a lot about the films we watch and really try to sculpt something special and kind of do a Rubik's Cube of scheduling. You know, we reach out to the filmmakers that are selected and really try to work with their schedules to see if we can, you know, help get them here and if to create the right time and day for their screening. So it's a lot of ranging and rearranging, and it pays off in the end when, you know, people smile and feel celebrated for their art or for witnessing the art that's put on the screen in front of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, just a great experience. If you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and today we're talking about the 25th anniversary of the Anchorage International Film Festival that gets underway on Friday the 5th. So, Kelly, turning to you, tell us about the Arctic Indigenous Film Fund and the shorts collection that they're helping to support.
Arctic Indigenous Film Fund had a collection. They had a workshop and then a collection of filmmakers from Greenland, Canada, here in Alaska, and they put together this beautiful 20-minute collection of films from those particular filmmakers. And so they've become a partner for us, and they gave us this gorgeous curation, and now we've added that to the Native Voices showcase this year.
That's outstanding. That sounds like an exciting event to see.
It is. We're pretty excited. We have some incredible films from across Alaska and so many different cultural backgrounds. And for me, it's like it was important to have a diverse lineup and celebrate Indigenous resilience, cultural preservation, and storytelling from language revitalization and traditional art to climate change, identity, intergenerational healing. We're really delighted to have Jessica Ross from the University of Alaska Anchorage. She's going to do our land recognition this year. And we have Joe Yates from Southeast Alaska. He has his film's called My Message to You. And it's spoken entirely in Haida by a six-year-old. And there's very, very few young, fluent Native Haida speakers. So it centers that urgency of language preservation and cultural transmission. So.
Man, that's... what an inspiration, a six-year-old.
Yeah, being and fluent. She's going to be here.
And that's, you know, and what good hope that can give to people who are, you know, despairing about how are we going to get this done and keep that language vibrant into the future. What a great ambassador, a six-year-old.
Exactly, and as Adam said, you know, you want people who are in their 60s who've made their first film, but you also want to have kids. And when they see what's up on the screen and they can connect to identity, then they can say, oh, that's possible for me too, right?
Absolutely.
So that's super important to have that inclusion. We have a Lutuk superhero from Brad Hilwig, who is a local Anchorage filmmaker and wonderful ally. It profiles Jerry Lactinen, and his carving helped revive nearly lost Lutuk art traditions. And his masks, if you've ever seen them, they're so powerful. Mm-hmm. And so we're very honored to have that film be part of this. And we are going to be honoring Jerry with a Culture Bearer Award. This is the first year that Native Voices is giving out Legends Awards. And so Jerry will be receiving a Culture Bearer Award. And then Velma Wallace, who's going to be here because Princess Dasrai Johnson has done a short film adaptation of Two Old Women.
Yes.
Probably our most beloved Alaskan tale.
Yeah.
And so Velma will be present and we'll be giving her a Storyteller Legends Award.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I wanted to ask about both you and Adam. You're helping to support relief efforts for Western Alaska communities also through the festival, the communities that were devastated by Typhoon Halong. Tell us about your fundraiser. What's involved? What should people know?
We're working in partnership with Alaska Community Foundation, and we're doing an online fundraiser. So we've had incredible artists donate items for us to auction off online. We'll open it the night of the opening of the festival, and we'll close it on the closing night. And people can go online to give butter and bid on what they like. They can also make direct donations if they prefer. And so we've had some incredible items come through. Charles Reagans, who was one of the Emmy-winning background artists on The Simpsons for over 30 years, has gotten back to his roots of fine art and donated a beautiful scratchboard piece of the two totem poles in front of the court building downtown. And when you look at it, it looks like a piece of slate. It is the most beautiful thing, and it's going to be hard for me to give up.
Better start bidding.
That's right. I'm going to hide it in my closet.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. We have a local Soldotna artist who's from Fairbanks but now lives on the Kenai Peninsula. That's Colleen Smoggy. She's donated two beautiful watercolors. And all her inspiration comes from nature. So her watercolors, there's one that's of three bears. So it's a black bear and a brown bear and a polar bear. And those are two original pieces, and she's got one of Mount Redoubt. So she's got the bears in Mount Redoubt. And the watercolors really capture the light and the color of the regions where she's painting. So I love those. They're watercolor on paper, and they're originals. So she hasn't even copied any of the bears. She hasn't even copied yet. Mm-hmm. So there will be no card reprints of that, I don't think. We've had generous donations from all kinds of craftspeople. We've got porcupine quill earrings and all kinds of things. So I'm just hoping that we, you know, raise some money. And it's just to show that we care. We're showing face. We're showing that,
helping
yes,
our neighbors.
Yeah. And that's one thing I love about being Alaskan, is we really do care about each other. We show up for each other. And they're going to be going through it for the next 2 to 3 years easily. Right? They're going to need our constant support. So just showing up a little bit and saying, hey, we care. Here's what we can do right now. And hopefully it'll grow bigger next year.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And such a wonderful thing to undertake during this ultra busy time of the film festival. The Anchorage International Film Festival's 25th anniversary is silver. And you have a fitting mascot this year, the silver salmon. I don't
Absolutely.
Know. Yeah. How did you decide on that? I mean, it seems like an easy decision, and how will it be featured? How will you kind of promote that?
Do you want to take that, Adam?
I mean, the artist who always designs our, Jessica, who always designs our posters, you know, she mocked up the drawing, and I think we just all really clicked with it and the way it would, you know, represent Alaska. You know, with all the merch we sell and, you know, that people like to wear, I think the reason people, you know, love this festival is because of its uniqueness and its Alaskan-ness. And I think anything we do to kind of lean into that keeps it very special.
Jessica Thornton is an incredible artist, and she's been very generous to do our posters and merch. And as we all know, to Alaska, the salmon is sacred, right? So it's really been a beautiful thing. And I think the whole idea started with Rich Kirtner. He was really very excited about having the salmon this
and
year.
Rich is the board chair for the film festival. Yeah, and long time, been on there for a long time.
17 years, yeah. 17
wow,
years.
That's amazing. Yeah. Almost the whole entirety of it. The festival, the festival is growing. Kelly, I believe you said, and Adam, you can confirm, that there were 75 filmmakers last year and there's 100 this year? Is that right?
At least, yeah, at least. I mean, a lot of people come in from, you know, the lower 48, Europe, you know, from around Alaska. So it's going to be a big crowd of, you know, directors, cinematographers, editors, documentary subjects, actors. So we're really excited this year. And I think, you know, they're all excited about Alaska, which is, you know, they all want to see it. And they've connected with the idea of films worth freezing for, which is, you know, when you have a film festival
most
in Alaska,
awesome slogan.
In the winter, some people are like, really? In December?
Yes,
and then people connect with the idea of that kind of unique experience of going to Alaska in the winter and bundling up and hanging out in dark theaters and connecting with people and, you know, sitting by the fire in a lobby and having a drink and all these things. And I think they're just, everyone's really excited, you know, about this experience.
And last year, filmmakers had so much fun. The Anchorage Festival got noticed by a couple different organizations. Tell us about this recognition by a magazine and another outfit.
Well, you know, it was great because we got so many reviews last year that it put us in the top 100 best reviewed film festivals on Film Freeway. And, you know, it's just nice when to go through and read the reviews and see that this experience wasn't just like, oh, that was good. It was like, oh, I had an experience. Oh, it regenerated, you know, my creative drive. Oh, it was like the thing I needed at the end of the year. You know, it like, I never expected this. Oh my God, this would, you know, this is a filmmaker first driven festival. And, you know, oh my God, the cultural elements of Alaska, I had no idea about them and the native culture. And people walked away with these things. And I think all those things really, they really took people and, you know, we're happy to give them that again this year.
And I do want to talk more about the importance of audience and their reaction and things like that. But I want to get Emily in here. Mm-hmm. Emily, I'm so intrigued by the premise of your film, Shaped by Land. You profile a Greenlandic man who is a ski guide. Does he try to help tourists understand his connection to the land while he's taking them out skiing? And if so, what does he want them to learn and go home understanding beyond great slopes or trail skiing stories?
Yeah. So Shaped by Land profiles Adam Kjeldsen. He's a Greenlandic Inuk ski guide. And yeah, we look a lot at his ability to connect his clients to his culture and to his homelands, and also to some of the values of the small community that he lives in. So I skied with him 3 years ago in Greenland when I was working on a story for the Ski Journal about the Greenlandic ski community. And I was quickly struck by how like charismatic and interesting of a character and person he is and how he really connects on a deep level with his clients. And I think he takes people out and feeds them food pulled fresh from the fjords. He's feeding them mussels that they've just pulled out, cod they've just pulled out. You know, they boil it in a big pot, they pour it out on a rock, and you eat it off the rock with your hands. It's called kuiset, and that's a traditional Greenlandic dish. And these are experiences that most ski tourists to Greenland don't get to have because most ski tourists are guided by outsiders. And so there's only 3 Greenlandic ski guides at all. And Adam is one of them. And he's, mentoring a lot of people, helping a lot of people get into backcountry skiing. And so I wanted to uplift him and the important work he's doing.
And tell us more about that Western Greenland skiing community and how you got connected to that group.
Yeah, well, I think it's because I live in Alaska and I do a lot of work in the Arctic and with people in small communities in the Arctic. And there's just that northern connection we all know about, like you become connected across the north. And I was interested in the Greenlandic ski community because I noticed a lot of Greenlandic or a lot of films coming out of Greenland, a lot of ski photos, ski media coming out of Greenland. But it was always folks from the US or Europe going there to do their trip and tell their own story. And I was like, well, surely there's people who live in Greenland who ski. I want to know more about those people. And so a friend here in Anchorage through the Arctic Winter Games was connected with Adam, connected me with him. And I said, hey, I want to learn more about your community. And his response was like, yeah, nobody tells our story. And so in, you know, ski media is very, very white. And I wanted to help bring that community into the forefront. And their community, it's just really, really tight knit. Everyone on the ski hill knows each other by name. You go to the ski hill, it's 90% indigenous people, and they're there with their families. They're there cheering each other on. They have these great ski clubs with the Greenlandic Ski Federation. And like Alaska, there's a lot of communities that you can only get to by boat or by air. And so these Greenlandic ski clubs connect people across the west coast of Greenland through competitions where they get to maybe see their friends once or twice a year at these comps, but they form lifelong friendships. So it's really unique.
Absolutely. That just sounds fantastic. What an experience. So, Adam, getting back to you, I know this is only your second year as festival co-director, but what do you know about the history of audience numbers? Are they growing? How are early ticket sales this year?
We've already sold out. Not sold out, but we're close to selling out the Native Voices show.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, we're selling some. We're really pushing the all-access pass this year, which is... you know, we have a lot of film. We have over 180 films this year. So it's really your way, your ticket to go to everything. And the way I try to describe it is, you know, the way to fest, you know, how to fest is you got to devour it. You got to jump in. You got to go to multiple screenings, come to the coffee talk panels early in the morning, meet the filmmakers, hang out with them, you know, have a bagel with them. You know, really pushing this like interactiveness for the audiences. And that's what we're really pushing this year is to, we have the opening night film Bert, which is one of these perfect indie gems. It's scrappy, heartfelt, character driven, executive produced by David Gordon Green, who directed Pineapple Express and a bunch of the new Halloween films. But this was made and shot for under $10,000, and it's this warm, messy, funny, emotional portrait of, you know, people trying to find meaning in the chaos of their life. And it's just a great way to start the festival. And then after the opening night film, we'll be hanging out at the Beartooth Theater, having a drink, mixing it up. And, you know, we really invite the community to come check it out and, come join us and meet the filmmakers and, you know, get started the right way.
Kelly, turning back to you, talk about the importance of the audience, especially for small independent filmmakers. What do you hope to see from an audience that is viewing your work or other Indigenous filmmakers' work for the first time?
I hope, I hope that they have the same response I do when I see these beautiful films. You want that exchange of energy. You want people to, you know, everyone suffers for their art, right? You know, to make a film as an indie, you're not paying rent for a while. You're balancing those bills. You're trying to say, is it more important to eat today or pay my re-recording mixer? Right? So you suffer for your art because it's a passion and you're driven to it. It's an addiction too, right? It's just, it's a beautiful way to live, I think, to express yourself, meet people, especially in documentary. I learned so much by being in communities that I would otherwise not be part of. And to be trusted with stories. So I hope that when people see these showcases that we've all lovingly put together, Adam and Pat have suffered, and I have suffered over these decisions, because there's only so much room, and it's heartbreaking to not include a filmmaker. So you hope that they have the same response you do when they see these films, to be as excited about the information that they're receiving, the storytelling, the artistry, and all the love and blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into these films. And I can say that I'm just honored to be on the board, that I get to see all these films. And, you know, Emily's film, Shaped by Land, is extraordinary. I absolutely loved it. And I was like, that has to be. And it's a tough decision because, like I said, you can't include. But luckily, one of the films that I wanted to include and didn't have enough time to was Let My People Go Skiing by Ellen Bradley. And it's a Tlingit skiing story.
Oh.
And I feel like, you know, Indigenous peoples are finding their way back to the lands and in ways that can be ecotourism-based businesses.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to recognize. So I'm so grateful for Emily's film. We also have Braids by Elise Beers, which is about a young boy's identity. And, you know, he has his long braids and he's in school and he deals with the misunderstandings that go along with cultural identity. And so it's a beautiful film. I will just bring some Kleenex and put it in your tissue. You put it in your pocket for that one. I'll tell you, it got me.
So I did want to ask, we're going to take a break here in a minute or so, but I wanted to go back to you, Emily, and just ask about what do you hope people take away from the film that you're going to be showing?
You know, I think my biggest hope is that, I think here in Alaska, a lot of us are already thinking about these things, but broadly, a lot of people aren't always thinking about the places they travel and the people who call those places home in a deep way, and how they can travel with respect and humility to the communities that they're visiting. And so that's the biggest thing. And to think deeper about a place like Greenland, to a lot of people, is in the outdoor world, it's a place to go climb or a place to ski, but it's an indigenous land and it's an indigenous country. And so what way can people travel there with more humility and respect? And that's kind of the hope. We focus on those more than focusing on like the extractive tourism. We focus on the alternative and the ways that Adam really brings that to his clients.
And making the original people of that land more visible.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Increasing that representation and getting those stories out there.
I'm signing up for an excursion with him. The food looked phenomenal. Oh, my mouth was watering. Before we go to break, is it okay if I just mention too that we've got The Woman Who Married a Bear by Kala Mary Goddard from Southeast. It's a Yucatat story retold through Indigenous filmmaking. And it's a folk tale, right? But it's just so beautifully done. Mm. And so the whole collection is very diverse this year. And you know, like Adam said, we're almost sold out. And that just shows we haven't even done any media.
I gotta get my ticket.
Right, it's all... And Princess has been on a press tour for Two Old Women, which is an extraordinary short film adaptation of Two Old Women. And it's on 16 millimeter. I got to see it before it was even fully done, and I cried. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful, especially from people who grew up here. But also, we've got the focus on other films, which I hope to talk to about after the break.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely will do that. And Adam, did you want to jump in there quick before we go to break?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, about the audiences, you know, for 25 years, this film festival has existed because of Anchorage film-loving cinephiles and people who want to go hang out in theaters showing up. And it's just, you know, this is a celebration for them, too, you know, and I think that's just one thing I want to echo.
All right. That's fantastic. Thank you. Thanks to our guest today, Adam Linkenhelt, festival co-director, Kelly Moneymaker, who is an Alaskan filmmaker and board member of the Anchorage International Film Festival. And Emily Sullivan is here. She is having her film debut in the U.S. for the first time during the film festival. And we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're discussing the Anchorage International Film Festival that gets underway on Friday. It's the 25th anniversary, and there is a tremendous lineup for the festival. In the studio with me today is Kelly Moneymaker, an Alaskan filmmaker and board member for the Anchorage International Film Festival. Emily Sullivan is also in the studio. Emily is an Alaskan filmmaker who is having her film debut in the U.S. during the festival. And Adam Linkenhelt is on the line from L.A. Adam is a festival co-director and will be in the state in just a couple of days, or maybe tomorrow. And let's go to the phones for a moment. Marcia is in Petersburg. Hi, Marcia.
Well, hi. I was just listening to the part about the art auction, and I would like to donate an item for the auction. Could you give me a contact number for that?
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you so much. I would deeply appreciate your help. It's 907-378-3415.
And we can help get connected after we get off air, too.
Thank you for your generosity.
We'll have your number, Marcia, so we can make sure that Emily has, or not Emily, sorry, that Kelly has that and get you connected. That's fantastic.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Okay, and the art auction, is it this Friday the 5th?
It begins the 5th and it closes on the 14th.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcia. I appreciate it.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
We make those connections. That's awesome. I love it.
See, this is what I mean. Alaskans care about Alaskans. It makes my heart swell. It's so cool.
Kelly, this is the second year of the Native Voices Showcase. And this is, as we know, the 25th anniversary of the Anchorage International Film Festival. What's your vision for the next 25 years and how you want to see the Native Voices Showcase grow? What's on the horizon in that regard for you?
You know, it's been like a wild ride. I wasn't on the board last year when we started the showcase. I was just asked to kind of come in and be supportive and figure out ways to help our local filmmakers shine. And so we started it last year, and I was a filmmaker in the showcase last year. So it was just this crazy thing that we whipped together, and Adam and Pat came in late, so everybody was just running around like mad people. And we were just so surprised And it was beautiful to see the audience's reaction, to have them ask very profound and thoughtful questions during the Q&A. And you could see how excited they were to support Alaskan filmmakers, and especially Native filmmakers, to have that spotlight on Native filmmakers. So we were shocked. We sold out last year, and then we're about to sell out this year. There's only a couple seats left. So if you guys want a seat to see Native voices, you need to book it right now.
Oh, no kidding. Last year I was able to take a whole bunch of grandkids. And so we all went. It was really fun.
Yeah. And so this year, it just to show, that's all word of mouth, because we haven't even done. We're here this morning and there's only a couple seats left. So that just shows that word of mouth is a great thing. Also, as I said, Princess has been on a press tour for Two Old Women. And, you know, it's grown so much. So the board, like Pat and Adam did such a great job last year and brought all these filmmakers up, and they had this great experience. And then it just seemed like the submissions doubled and we needed help. So we also pretty much doubled the board. Katie Suddick-Cook from North Compass Group has come on. Lael Fairbairn has come on. Princess Johnson has come on. And so it's like I joined 9 months ago, Princess joined 6 months ago, and Lael and Katie came in 3 months ago. And again, we're all running around like mad people trying to pull this off, because there's so many more filmmakers. And again, the audience was excited and we sold out by word of mouth. Yeah. So I'm hoping that next year we have an even bigger Native Voices showcase. Maybe we'll have to have a couple. And then I can include more films, which would be phenomenal, because I hate having to be a gatekeeper like that and turn people away. It doesn't feel good to have to do that. Yeah.
So Emily, turning back to you, why did you focus on Greenland rather than the Alaska ski scene? Is it because they're just really, I know that Kelly mentioned Tlingit filmmaker that talked about indigenous skiing in her community, but what did you just not find enough to focus on here, or was there not a character that really helped bring this forward?
Yeah, good question. Well, Ellen, first of all, is a good friend, and her film is great, and it's beautiful, and she really took the reins on telling her own story. She directed her film about herself, which is, I would not want to be in that position, to be honest. That is a hard thing to do, but amazing. And at the same time, like, really great to see that storytelling sovereignty. I wouldn't say that I was looking to make an indigenous ski film. I think that just, I had been asked to work on a different film in Greenland a few years ago, and it was about some women from the U.S. going to ski there. And I didn't really connect with that story. And that piqued my curiosity about the Greenlandic ski community in general. And when I met those folks, they kept saying, like, people haven't wanted to share our story before. And I think that that ski community is so, so strong there. And we do have some indigenous ski community happening here in Alaska for sure. And a lot of those folks are already embedded in storytelling and they're doing a lot of their own, which is amazing. But I did work with Greenlandic communities to bring Greenlandic creatives to bring Shaped by Land alive. That was really important to me, to not go and be an extractive storyteller either. So we had a Greenlandic story advisor, Irina Kleist, and she actually works with Princess on some other Arctic films. So there's like a lot of connections here. And Aningat Carlson, he was one of our cinematographers. Inarok Brandt was our photographer. And so our crew was heavily Greenlandic and heavily indigenous. My DP, Isaiah from the U.S., he's also indigenous. So we worked to really have a diverse team of Greenlandic and U.S. folks bringing that film to life.
Great. It's fantastic. Yeah. Adam, talk about the four venues where you'll be hosting films. Are they going to all screen a variety of types, or will each venue sort of focus on one area, documentaries, features, animation? How does that work?
It's all a variety. It's a mix. The idea is to kind of, you know, almost take you on a tour around town. You know, we have the Beartooth Theater. We have the E Street Theater on E Street. We have the Alaska Experience Theater, that blue building next to the Wild Birch Hotel, and we have the Anchorage Museum. So, and they're all filled with different films, you know, documentaries, narratives, short films, music videos. So we really encourage people to download the program or find a program sitting around town and just take a look at the lineup, because you can kind of map out just an awesome week of very different films and a different experience. And you know, see where your taste guides you.
I know I was looking at the whole rundown, and we'll link to the website on the Talk of Alaska post so people can find it there and look at the schedule. But wow, it is amazing how packed full of such a wide range of genres and just all different kinds of any kind of film that you could imagine. Adam, I'm a horror fiction fan. I always have been. You mentioned an indie film called Blood and Guts that profiles family that makes horror films together. I was so intrigued by that. Tell us about that.
It's so good. Blood and Guts is about this family, the Adams family. His name, John Adams and Toby Poser. Yeah. And with their children, you know, so they were actors in LA, and they drove across the country to live on the East Coast, and they just started making films together after the LA dream had kind of, you know, not worked out, medium worked out, you know, whatever it was. And then they started making films with the, you know, with them together as a family. And they are these, you know, they make the props, they make the, you know, the blood and the guts, as the title says.
Nice.
And they just
love
became
it.
This like cult sensation on the in like the horror film festival circuit. And because their films had this, you know, that indie quality that is just unique, unlike others, and just, and they made a lot of them, you know, they kept going. And that's one thing, you know, we love first time filmmakers, and we love multiple filmmakers when you keep going, because that's what's really hard, right? You sacrifice everything to make one indie film, and then what do? And if you can find a way to keep doing it, that's really special. And they were doing that as a family, and I think it just goes to it really talks about the core of why we make indie films with the people we love. And I think it's really special, and it's heartfelt. It's got every emotion in it. We have John and Toby are coming up, and the directors are coming up. So, you know, we got the directors and subjects, and I think it's just going to be a great experience. And it's just everything that, you know, indie filmmaking is about, and it's a great look into, you know, genre indie filmmaking.
And so was it mom, dad, and the kids, the whole family got involved in this?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of about, you know, when college came up, how did the family, you know, deal with that? And how do, you know, and when these films took off too, and they were giving bigger opportunities to direct bigger films, you know, was that the same, you know, what did that change? And it's just such a unique, beautiful tale. We're just so excited to share it, and that they're coming here too.
Yeah. How fun is that? I love it. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about all the amazing films that you'll be able to see starting on Friday as the Anchorage International Film Festival gets underway and as Talk of Alaska continues statewide. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are talking about the Anchorage International Film Festival, and we've got filmmakers and directors in the studio with us, and a co-director from the festival. Adam Lincolnheath is on the line from LA as he gets ready to make his way up to Alaska for the exciting events kicking off on Friday. Kelly, the first Native Voices showcase was a big success. I was there. It was packed. You sold out. Your film, Drum Song, The Rhythm of Life, won a few awards, as did others. Were you surprised by the response from Alaskans for this first effort?
Oh, yeah. We were really surprised. I didn't expect that. I thought we were going to work our way up to popularity in a full house. So I was pretty surprised. I was also surprised that I won anything, because I had said I didn't want to win anything because I was participating. So I felt like I shouldn't be judged, but I wasn't on the board yet. So Adam and Pat were, you know, put me up for an award, and I won the Humanitarian Award, which is a huge honor. Mm. And then the Jury Award. We had great interaction with the audience. They voted. And we have Susan who makes sure that everyone does vote. So she's amazing. But you know, so I'm hoping that next year we can expand. I would like to open this up to the audience too and say, if you are a young Native filmmaker and you want to come on board and help with Native Voices next year, because I believe in shared leadership, and I just wanted to start this and get it established. but I would really love for someone else to come on board and learn the ropes and meet Adam and Pat and the team and the incredible board that we have and start breaking someone else in to take over the role, because I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
Or if we expand, I'm going to need help with another showcase. So I would love to just open that up. If you're interested, if you're in film and you're a young creative and you want to come learn, please give me a call. I put my number out there already, but you can reach me at drumsongfilms@gmail.com. And let's do it.
Well, and we've talked about the Native Showcase, but it's not just that special carve out where Indigenous films are going to be shown. They're throughout the whole festival, correct?
Right. And Pat and Adam have been great about saying, okay, well, there's so many great submissions. Let's weave them throughout the festival. So it's whatever showcase you're going to, you're going to get that in, you know, local flavor. I really want to point out Remaining Native by Paige Beffman. It's about a Native filmmaker following a young runner, I can't talk today, from Yerington Paiute Reservation as he strives to reach his dreams. And then In the Wake of Justice Delayed by Mary Katsky, who's an Alaskan filmmaker. Two Alaskan Native families seek justice for their murdered loved ones. Mm. That's a very deep film. Mm-hmm. Rewilding Cube Cove by Lee House, an Angoon filmmaker. And it's about the Angoon Kootsnuwu crew restoring habitat on Admiralty Island, which shows career pathways, yeah, right, for local Indigenous communities. Also, as a musician primarily my entire life, I'm super excited about the music video category this year, which is new for us.
Oh, great.
And She's So Heroine, my music video is actually in the showcase, but it's out of competition, as is Two Old Women is also showing out of competition because Princess and I are on the board. But I want to point out some highlights. I really love Matt Farron, who was a participant last year with his film Shark in the Dark. He's got his music video Begin Again, which is great. I really love it. Female punk band from Fairbanks, Three Chord Ho, is nominated for their song Money. Salmon of Positive Energy by Ben Gordon. He's the director. And then Allie Kelly and Henry Solomon are the artists. And then Sam for the band Hussy.
All right.
And there's so every single one of the music videos is really cool, and
they're so different, right?
So different.
They're all just so different.
Yeah.
And there's also, in addition to this the music video category, you also have a cell phone film category. Yeah. Adam, talk a little about that.
Yeah, I think we just wanted to open it up to people making films in very, democratic ways. Like, anyone can make a film, and we just wanted to kind of, understand. Let people understand that, we would accept and find room for film shot on iPhones. So we have a few of those, and we don't have a specific showcase. They're just woven throughout the festival as well, which is something we're always about this mix, so that you go into a block and you get like a medley of things, you know what I mean? And you walk away, not just having watched a documentary, not just having watched a narrative, you get all these different things from it. So,
and you celebrating independent filmmaking is really celebrating hard work and creative expression. Adam, you had mentioned that Friday's opening film was made for under $10,000. Tell us about that film and how they were able to make it on such a small budget.
I don't know how they did on such a small budget, and I'm gonna ask them when they're on stage, because it is so good. But part of how I know how they did it is they casted it so well. Mm-hmm. The lead actor is hilarious, and the second lead, Bert Berger, I believe is his name, is a man. He is this musician who has Parkinson's, and he plays a musician with Parkinson's in the film. And his performance is so unique and moving, and hilarious and surprising, and it's shot in beautiful black and white. And when you talk to these guys, you understand that it's just a four-person crew that put this thing together, and they just went out and did it, and it doesn't feel cheap. Mm-hmm. It is just, and it feels so well made, so well acted. It's its own offbeat humor. We really were hoping to get, Bert here, but he, his Parkinson's has worsened and he couldn't make it. And so I believe he's recorded a message, though, that will be playing at the festival. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a really special film that I think just it starts the festival so well. Just to understand what we are here celebrating is people who really go out and make these things happen and the audiences that are here to, you know, watch and enjoy those things.
All right. Let's thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. Doreen, maybe Nata, is in Fairbanks. Hello.
Yes. <it's
laughs> I knew it was you. So good to hear from you.
I always love to listen to your show.
Well, it's always good to hear your voice.
I can.
This is an actor from Fairbanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Hi, Doreen.
And she's a good friend.
Hi, yeah. Doreen.
Yes, yes. I just want to congratulate both my friends, Princess and Upta. I can't even remember your first name anymore. I just know you. Well, I just always call you Upta.
Thank you, Nutak.
big congratulations. I just wish I was in Anchorage to go watch this, but I'll be heading to Canada next month on the 10th.
To start the next season?
Hang around, yes.
Whoa, so exciting. Well, it's awesome to hear from you.
And yeah, thank you for...
Yeah, thanks for calling in, and we can't wait for the next season.
Yes, very excited.
Start of North of Great. North.
I know. It's so funny. You are so funny.
It is amazing. I love that show. I just love it. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch the shows.
All right.
I think that Two Old Women is showing in Fairbanks. I don't know the details, but Princess would have the details on where it's being shown in Fairbanks.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe you'll have a chance to see it yet, Natak. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Nice
thank
meeting.
You.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
Yeah, thank you. So, Adam, one of the big excitements of the film festival is the ability to meet filmmakers and actors in person. That's exciting and fun. I have to admit that I have absolutely no other film festival knowledge, so I have no point of reference for this, but I've never been to Sundance or any other festival. Is having the filmmakers on hand and available to talk to the audience a regular thing at these events, or does Anchorage stand out in that regard?
I mean, I think it's just... You know, you can go to a film festival and sometimes it's a bunch of screenings of really great films. But when there is that special Q&A and when there is community events and when, you know, I think the audiences are really welcome to hang out and be with the filmmakers, I think it really creates something else special that is a festival. It's common at some, it's not common at others. And it's just about kind of what our drive is to make sure we achieve that, you know, we're always trying to get them here and encourage them to come and, you know, let them know we're going to celebrate them when they're here and that how good the Anchorage audiences are and the great questions they have and how engaged they get. It's just great, you know.
Yeah. So. I think there's also like a whole new level of bonding that the filmmakers experience because they get to go on these excursions. A lot of film festivals don't have excursions for the filmmakers.
Oh, smart.
And here they get to go try to find the Northern Lights.
That's
or
great.
They're having, you know, beers around a campfire or they're going out to see the Matanuska Glacier. And so there's more bonding because you're having these experiences outside of film together.
Getting them hooked on Alaska.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they can talk about their passion.
Exactly.
And you're in a like-minded community and everybody gets excited about talking about film. So it's a special bond. Last year I was on the film festival circuit with Drum Song and I went to a ton of festivals. And I was proud to say that our Anchorage International Film Festival was the most fun.
All right. I love that.
Yeah.
Emily, when you think about how it's been 25 years, which is pretty awesome that it's sustained and kept building and growing, do you envision that Anchorage will become part of the film festival circuit in coming years and become maybe the North's version of Sundance?
Oh, that would be great. I mean, this is my first year showing with the festival, and I'm super excited. And I think, you know, I've heard from other filmmakers who showed at the festival in the past that it was a great experience, and I've attended some of the films. And I really appreciate all the work that the board and the directors are doing to attract really, you know, amazing films to the festival. So I'm really excited to meet everyone and to see how it grows. And I think, yeah, I think it has a lot of potential to be a very well, you know, well-known festival, not just in the North, but across the U.S.
So, Adam,
I think it's not just... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, go ahead. Finish up.
I was just going to say, and it's not just trying to become Sundance, because I think it is just such its own special thing. Oh, you know, it is its own destination. It is away from the industry and you know, this in this, you know, northern pocket. And I think it's just such a special, unique own thing. And I think it's worth celebrating that as well.
It's films worth freezing for.
Well, it's also real. It's not like a Hollywood thing. It doesn't have that sort of, I mean, not to put down, but I mean, it's just we're Alaska, right? Alaska's got its own texture, colors, feel. You know, like people are really community based, and I think that's important.
And you know, I'm glad you mentioned Hollywood, because thinking about in our last couple of minutes here, the future of filmmaking. Ron Perlman, Hollywood actor, has launched this new. It's called Asylum Studios. People could, creatives and others that are interested in filmmaking. excuse me. Can donate to this startup. I did as a writer. And the whole idea is that the people who contributed to start this up are the people who will vote on future pitches from creatives. So it's kind of democratizing this idea of getting big Hollywood out of the way. What do you all think about those types of efforts? Is that sort of the future, that big Hollywood's going to not be the end-all be-all, and that people, because there's so many ways now to access media, that will kind of make it more of a democratic process?
I hope so.
I think there's just a less, you know, there's always going to be some big gatekeepers, but I think there's just, you can go out and make stuff, and there's places to put it, and people will watch it if it's good.
Go ahead. I was just saying, you know, this is a good way for people to come in and see films they like, and then they can further support those filmmakers that they like by donating to their next film campaign, which we, as indies, we desperately need support, right?
And, you know, film festivals, of course, need people to get out of their house, get in the car, drive or walk to the venues. As you well know, there is endless amounts of every kind of video work online, a whole lot of schlock online. But there's so much choice out there. Movie theaters have had a hard time attracting people. The lure of the couch and streaming service is tough to beat. How do you work to get people out to enjoy the festival? And what do you think the future will look like in that regard, getting people to connect in person?
You want to take that, Adam?
I think in a way it's almost a niche. It's for people who still love that more than sitting on the couch. It's for discovering it too. You know, you go to a film festival, your first time at a festival, you raise your hand and you ask a question and you get an answer and you get a connection to, you know, someone who came from far away to show their work and you learn something. I think it can be really inspiring and change maybe the way you feel about, you know, a theater and that experience. And you understand like, oh, this is special. This is community. You know, I don't think it's going to go away. It just might become more niche. But I think, you know, just reminding people that, you know, we work really hard on putting together a beautiful program of, you know, a lot of mixed things and bringing a lot of different kinds of people here. And I think it's something to witness and can really energize people to the theater experience.
Well, I agree. And I think that you can have a great streaming service at home, but there's nothing like seeing a film in person with other people on a big screen. Mm-hmm. I still remember being a very small child and seeing The Wizard of Oz for the first time and just being awestruck for the rest of my life. Yeah. I was awestruck.
Yeah. Well, and also we have a mix of things. Like, right, you know, you were talking about live musicians being part of the festival, and we have Woody Youngman, who's a local native, you know, artist who's great, you know, acoustic guitar, singer-songwriter, and she's performing on opening night for us, right? We have some other surprise guests throughout, but it's about the experience, right? And meeting each other and being witness to, you know, all these different things.
Absolutely. Thanks so much to my guests, Adam Lincoln-Helt, Kelly Moneymaker, and Emily Sullivan. Make sure you check out our Talk of Alaska post to look at the link to the Anchorage International Film Festival, and you can see the schedule there. Thanks to our engineer, Crystal Hyde, our producer, Madeline Rose, our editor is Annie Feit, and on the phones, Dave Waldron helped us out today. I'm Lori Townsend. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Lori.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.